The UN-sponsored Shkirat Agreement from 2015 contributed significantly to the deep rift in the country, which culminated in Khalifa Haftar's failed bloody attempt to conquer Tripoli in 2019 and 20. Thereafter, in 2020, the UN-sponsored Libya Political Dialogue Forum led to the appointment of nowadays Prime Minister Dabeba, who contributed to torpedo the very same elections he was here to organize. In June last year, 6+6 committee of the two rival parliaments, the HOR and the HCS, drafted election laws that were subsequently endorsed by both parliaments but are still somehow contested. In March this year, the HOR and the HCS agreed in Cairo to appoint a new prime minister, but the process is stuck. Current political work in the High Council of State is paralyzed due to the dispute over the outcome of the chair's election on 6 August. The reconciliation process, sponsored by the African Union, is also stuck. So I would say Alafi is right. Altogether, there is certainly a need for a new plan with a clear political roadmap to get things moving again. Otherwise, I fear the country will further on slowly disintegrate.
The two officials reaffirmed the UN mission's commitment to aiding Libya's reconciliation efforts and overcoming barriers to organizing a comprehensive national conference. Is that an attempt to revive the national conference idea that was aborted by the Libyan National Army's military campaign against Tripoli?
I would say so. The deep rift between the supporters of Khalid al-Misri and Mohamed Takala for the leadership of the High Council of State could lead to a fading away of the already limited political influence of the HCS. Nevertheless, without a functioning HCS, whose roles and responsibilities are enshrined in the Libya Political Agreement, the Shkirat Agreement, the House of Representatives won't have a partner to discuss and eventually agree on important issues like the sovereign positions and the way forward to elections. Altogether, this would certainly complicate the already very difficult situation in Libya, and it could increase the centrifugal forces in the country. Therefore, it certainly makes sense to look for alternatives. A comprehensive national conference might be a way out, but the mistake of handpicking the participants, like in Shkirat and like at the Libya Political Dialogue Forum, must be avoided by this time. Libya is, unfortunately, a very good example for failed UN stabilization initiatives. Shkirat and the LPDF show how not to do it. You cannot select your own negotiation partners, disconnected from the realities on the ground, and expect every stakeholder to accept this. This time, there must be a clear and transparent criteria for the selection of the participants. And if the conference should be really successful, those must not only represent the Libyan society, including the tribes, but also the warring factions, those who have really the power on the ground.
Business development team at the National Oil Corporation discussed with officials from the British Petroleum's BP the company's desire to expand investment in Libya, which contributes to increasing oil production. Would that contribute to a more stable Libya?
A stable oil production is a precondition for a stable Libya, and therefore I would say yes. The Libyan oil industry is in dire need of foreign investments, but not only to increase production, but even to sustain the current 1.2 million barrel per day. On the other side, Libya does not much to attract foreign companies as well. So while the sweet crude oil and the technical ease of extraction and the short transportation routes to Europe still make investments in Libya attractive for international companies, Libya needs to realize that crude oil is also available at other locations, and the global peak of oil demand is reached soon. But I hope that the Libyans start realizing this soon.